hour three of Overdrive, up and running. I'm Al's brother, filling in for Brian Hayes. I've got the O-Dog, and we've got Dave Feshuk of the Toronto Star. Luke Wilson will join us in just a moment here. And, you know, we laid a good beatdown on Hazy B last night. Went 2-1, you know, his Packers took an L, and then also we had the Eagles covering, so he had two losses in that game.
Were you mad at us that we didn't trust you with your Cleveland Browns? Like, you were really in on that. You said they're
like, I had the tremendous information. You didn't believe it.
You had kind of a standard comment, which is like, they're good in the slop, and it just seems so cliche. And when you got a pro football player not buying into it, that's why I kind of jumped on board. And I bet on them so many times and lost, I just said, I'm not doing it again, because they're the letdown kings.
They're the letdown
kings. But you know what I'm getting sick of, Al's brother, is Tom Brady continuing to say, I watch football and there's so many garbage plays out there and stupid plays.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he continues to go out there and lead that offense and make garbage plays.
All the time.
What is he talking about? His own team?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, he's talking about a lot of stuff. He could be talking about Aaron Rodgers. Could be talking about what's going on in Pitt. Like, there's a lot of teams that are playing some garbage football. But, I mean, he's right in that mix.
Absolutely.
You know, like, he hasn't been awful this year. I think the record isn't indicative of how he's, like, he's been okay. Not up to Brady standards, but you look at the stat, like, he's been fine, but ultimately, there's been no run game, zero run game for that team, and it hasn't allowed him to do what he does best. The one day they had a run game was against Seattle when they went out to London, and they ended up winning that football game.
Right.
But outside of that, their defense hasn't been nearly as good as they need to be. I mean, it was a 2-minute drive by the Cleveland Browns, and you let them drive on you with Jacoby Brissett, Nick Chubb, and then you allow a one-handed touchdown by David Njoku to take it to overtime, and then you can't win it once you get there.
But speaking of garbage football, for all of what you just said and how he's been below the Brady standard, and that team has not played up to any kind of standard because they're 5-6 as we head in to the next week. They're leading the NFC South. They're first place in the NFC South at 5-6. Atlanta's at 5-7. Carolina's 4-8. New Orleans 4-8. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs no matter what happens, it seems. They can't play badly enough to miss.
Dave, how awkward is that transition going to be from Jacoby Brissett into Deshaun Watson in the sporting world in general? I know the Cleveland Brown fans are probably all going to support that.
Why don't we ask the guy on the line who's been in a locker room? And he might be able to help with something like that, potentially.
Great.
Why don't we bring him in?
And a great comment. Go ahead and
Let's bring him in. It's my guy, my teammate, our teammate, O-Dog, Luke Wilson, Super Bowl champion, tight end, TSL, and NFL analyst. Luke, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, boys? Listen, man, we were 2-1 this week, and let's be honest, Al's brother owe you an apology because it was my call and then the people's call. We were a 4th-and-10, one-handed catch away from being 3-0. Luke's brothers is back, baby.
Yes, we are.
Let's go.
Can you talk about that one-handed catch? Because it seems like years ago, it was the OBJ catch, and now it seems like there's three of those a game, and almost every touchdown is a one-handed catch. Is that like the evolution of the wide receiver, or like what is up with the one-handed catch being such a regular thing right now?
I think it's a combination, O-Dog, the evolution, but also from a like the gloves we wear. Just being like completely frank, the gloves that we have on and the technology, it is much easier to snag these things with one hand than
what is it, the stickiness
hand
of them or
not
something?
Not saying can't be done. Yeah, they're very sticky. I mean, and I found that, like, when I was a kid in high school, and granted, this was high school, not pros, but you got a kind of a one-size-fits-all glove, small, medium, large, and it was pretty, like, I don't know how, it would bunch up at points, etc. Those new Nike bad boys, you put that thing on, it's like a part of your skin, man. I mean, they form fit right there. So it's almost, again, you kind of have the feel of a regular, you know, your regular hand, but kind of super grip on the end of them. But beyond that, though, I also think that DBs are getting better. So it's kind of like, hey, DBs are getting better, and especially down there, you only have 10 yards, not the CFL, tight windows. Like, sometimes you got to make a play, and one hand is, you know, maybe all you'll be able to get.
Yeah, if only one person at this table could have foresaw that victory coming, But you talk about that game, and moving forward now for the Cleveland Browns, though, like we were just talking about before we brought you in, a little bit of a sticky situation because, you know, they've got Jacoby Brissett, who, you know, is a good dude in the locker room from all everything I've heard. Now you're bringing in Deshaun Watson, who's now probably going to have to be the guy. I mean, they went and gave this guy a boatload of cash guaranteed. How awkward do you think that shift of power is going to be going from Jacoby to Deshaun?
Yeah, Al's brother, it's certainly a very, very touchy situation. I can only speak for myself in this, you know, circumstance where I would be very uncomfortable as a player. You know, obviously, especially in that league, we kind of turn a blind eye on some things. Like, I think for in the locker room, for example, this might sound a little offside, but I don't think many guys care that much about PEDs, for example. The guy gets popped doing PEDs. You know, this isn't cycling. This isn't baseball.
But, Luke, what would you be uncomfortable about? Would you be uncomfortable to talk to him, be around him? What would be the element of it that you would be uncomfortable with?
I think all the above. I mean, what this man is accused of is horrendous. And then all of a sudden it's like, especially playing that position, to go in there like that's the leader. That's the guy who's giving all the direction, command, whatever. It's like at what point, especially in the Browns organization, are you just like, yo, this is like not okay. I mean, even talking about it, I'm stumbling over my words right now because I'm like, dude, like I've never been in a spot like that. Like I've played with guys that have had, you know, some questionable things happen in their past, but nothing to this degree. And I think that in that Browns locker room, you know, you gotta be a professional. So if you're in that offense, you're probably like, hey man, I gotta put my personal feelings aside. Like it's not just about Deshaun Watson. Let's try and make this work, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that naturally he's going to have a bit of a shorter leash as far as, you know, the margin of errors that he can commit, if that makes sense. With all the spotlight on him, all the accusations, and all the money they paid him, and the fact that Jacoby Brissett has been good this year. And like you said, he's a locker room guy. Everybody loves him. Like, he's been good. I think that the margin of error for Deshaun Watson is going to be, not in the front office, but amongst the guys, very, very slim.
Luke, you'll notice, obviously, that the great Hazy B is not here today, ill on a Monday. My theory is Hazy B hurts when the Packers hurt, and the Packers are reeling right now in a big way, as you probably noticed on the weekend. What do you make of this situation? If you're Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers goes down with the rib injury. We're hearing that he'll play if he's healthy. But
I find it shocking, Dave, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Because what?
Just the Packers' performance in general. Like,
it's been terrible.
Yeah,
well, he's won back-to-back MVPs, and this team has gone to the playoffs. And, Luke, you called them Super Bowl contenders. You put that Luke Wilson stamp at the beginning of the year,
right?
And this is what they've come out to do. Like,
but the question was, Luke, like, is this the moment where you're 4-8, where you go to Jordan Love and say, A-Rod number 12, like, take a seat?
Yeah, I mean, I want to just, I'll definitely get to that part, but I do think there's somewhat of a conspiracy here. I think that Hazy B is just so cold in his picks that he claimed he's sick, but I think that he just needs to go home and really reset the dial a little bit. So I think he's just grasping at straws at this point. But as far as Green Bay goes, you know, at the beginning of the year, I did definitely think that this was a team that should come out of the NFC. Especially with the talent they have now. I mean, they have gotten a bit by the injury bug a little bit, specifically Rashawn Gary, but that's no excuse. I mean, what's crazy about this offense is I'm watching a game last night, and schematically, they're doing nothing. I mean, the run game is good. Let me say that. But their pass game, like the concepts that they're throwing the ball, I'm like, what is going, like, what are you trying to accomplish? Generally speaking in this league, every single pass, you know, the scheme of it has an idea, has like, hey, this is what we're trying to establish here, or what we're trying to get, or who we're trying to put pressure on. Okay, we're going to do a 5-set drop. We're going to draw this safety out. We're going to have this guy come underneath, or we're going to motion this guy over, get a matchup, and we're going to really put some pressure and take a shot here. Or the quick game, yo, we're just going to take what they give us. Like, I watched this. I'm like, what are they doing? I mean, Al's brother just said it. You got the two-time MVP, NFL MVP here. Okay. Arguably one of the most talented quarterbacks ever. And this is what we've become. And I have a hard time even fathoming that this offense has gotten so bad. And to me, at this point, you rolled Jordan Love. And what I would say is, Kara Wagman brought the stats to me yesterday where she said, this was before the game, she's like, if the Packers lose, they have a 2% chance of making the playoffs. And my argument was, you know, with Aaron Rodgers in this league, 2%, obviously very low, but you play him until it's 0%. After watching that game yesterday, I've changed my stance on this, mainly because I don't think Aaron is healthy. I don't know how bad the oblique is. I don't know how bad the thumb is. It sounds like he needs surgery anyways. So I think at this point, it's safe to say that the Packers aren't making the playoffs. I mean, they're bad. And, I mean, I think it was safe to say a couple weeks ago, but... And I think you let Jordan Love roll. That's just kind of the way I see it.
Luke, I generally don't care what people say. I find it entertaining. I get to talk about it, and it's material for us on the show, but I'm getting a little fatigued. Do you think Tom Brady is ever going to back off the comments of saying, I watch football a lot and there's a ton of bad plays being made, and then goes out there himself and their team stinks the joint out, and more importantly, he kind of stinks the joint out, and he continues to go back to the well and say there's so many bad plays being made during football games?
Yeah, O-Dog, what's strange about that whole situation, and I saw the stat, I think it was like something absurd, like it was his first loss ever while being up 7 in the fourth quarter. Some Al's brother, do you know the exact number on that? It was
but
absurd.
That would make sense. If that's the case, he's been Mr. Yeah. Clutch his whole career.
Dynamite. So to me, although no one's really saying this, I think this is an all-time low for this offense. And you see they come out, they get the run game going yesterday, and then they just choke. I mean, that was very, very bad football across the board. And again, like he's pointing fingers like, hey, this is bad football. You want bad football, turn on the third quarter and specifically the fourth quarter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. And it doesn't get much worse than that. I mean, you look at it, and this is something that, you know, people might not understand, but the years that we were very good in Seattle, we went to the back-to-back Super Bowls, specifically my first year. We weren't a dynamic offense that was scoring 40 points a game. We had the best defense in football, a generational defense. And one of the things we would focus on is, hey, when we get to this fourth quarter, we got Marshawn, we've got some very good downhill offensive linemen, just big boys that are just going to push people around. Be like, hey, we need to close out games. If we're not going to score 40 points, one thing we can do is control this clock, sustain drives, you know, first and 10 goes to second and six, goes to third and two, let's convert on third down. And it's a way to win games, because all of a sudden now it's like, damn, you know, we're only down 7, but you've got this offense that can come out and just kind of choke you out. You know, it's like death by a thousand strikes or whatever the saying is.
Cuts.
Where I'm sitting there yesterday, I'm like, okay, you've got it. Like, Tampa Bay, you've got it. I'm laughing. I think we're going to get the win. And they just played terrible. I mean, fundamentally, that's how you give the game back. And the defense was being stout. I mean, the Browns' offense is halfway. They're okay. They're pretty good. They gain chance after chance after chance. And then finally, it comes down to a 4th and 10, where Njoku makes an incredible catch. And now I've got to come on overdrive on Monday and apologize to Al's brother because we can't cover the spread. It's absurd.
Yeah, well, you know, next time. We'll get him next time for sure. in conversation with Luke Wilson, our TSN NFL analyst. I want to chat about one of your former teammates, Russell Wilson. Not sure if you saw the clip going around, but Mike Purcell giving him the gears on the sideline. I mean, what do you make of this? We're showing it here up on TSN now. Like, what do you make of this whole situation? Seems like, I don't know, is he losing the locker room there in Denver?
Dude,
is that
losing,
a situation?
That's lost a long time ago, man.
Well, how much? They must be in big trouble then, I guess. Like, What do you make of that, Luke?
Yeah, there's a few things I make of that. You know, that defense has gone under the radar, but they've been really good this year. You know, so I'm sure that it's very frustrating when you have a defense that is a very good defense and has to play a ton, because not only does Denver not score, but they don't ever sustain drives, so they're never really holding the ball. And then, so there's a frustration point of that, but there's also kind of another element to this thing, which is tough, and it's just a thing about this league. You know, it's kind of is what it is, but the reality is when you play this badly, it devalues every individual when it comes to their career. And that's a very strange way to look at things, but it's the truth. I mean, you look at this, let's take the offense, and obviously Purcell's a D tackle here, and I'll kind of get into that in a sec. But it's like, you know, they're not, but if this were a free agent year, you know, is Sutton getting paid what he's probably should be getting paid? No. Jerry Jeudy, you know, his trade value probably went down. We'll never know. They didn't trade him. But it's like, hey, it's a stats-driven business here. Hey, what did you do last year? And now all of a sudden scouts start asking questions like, is this guy not good? What happened? Well, you know, this guy over here has way better numbers. And it's the same thing on defense. Like right now, everybody is talking about, I think after they shut them out, the Niners defense, the Niners front seven. When it's like, if you're Purcell, there was a time, and they obviously didn't look great yesterday, when you still had Chubb earlier in the year, where now all of a sudden the perception is, hey, you were part of this dynamic, dominant Denver defense, which is what they were doing the first half of the year. It's money in the bank, man. Like, that matters. It matters in free agency. It matters when you go to renegotiate. So I think it's a frustrational, you know, point for Purcell in the sense of, hey, let's win this game. But it also boils time after time because, like, hey, we're losing money week after week. And again, that's probably not a popular opinion, but that's the reality of this league. You're losing money when you're on bad teams.
So, Luke, the bottom line in big business, when you make a massive screw-up like you have here, and I don't know where the massive screw-up is, whether it be with Russell Wilson, the coach that they selected to coach the team, but at the end of the day, people that run big businesses, they have an obligation to fix problems. So moving forward, looking at next year already, which has got to be a massive disappointment, how do they fix it? How do the Denver Broncos fix the mess that they've created? Because that's the only thing left to do.
Oh, dog, I'll be honest with you. The only way they can fix this, in my opinion,
is release
is
Russell
if they
Wilson.
Somehow figure out, no, it's how to get Russ going. I mean, they guaranteed paid the guy. Who's going to take this contract on now?
No one.
Not one soul. There is not one soul in the NFL that will take this contract on with how, if it was average football they're playing, I could see one of the coaches on another team be like, you know what? Let's blame Nathaniel Hackett. Give me Russ, and I'll turn this bad boy around. It's not average football. It is very, very, very bad. So they basically have to go to the drawing board this offseason and be like, okay, how do we figure out how to get Russ going? Because they gave their draft picks away. Now they got a couple back, sure, with the Chubb trade. You know, but financially, they're tied up. Like, they're tied up in this guy, and I don't see anybody relieving them of that, especially after how the season's gone.
All right, Luke. Apparently the pick is in for Hazy B. I just got the text. I just got the call. He's on the Colts minus 2.5.
Tell me he's
tonight.
On the Steelers. Please tell me he's on the Steelers.
He took the Colts. He took the Colts. That's my team. Why would he take my club, my team? Why would he do that?
He should have lost the pick. He should have been, when you're a fraud and you miss work, you should have to go to the people. Like we had to do.
He should have to go to the people. I still believe he should have to go to the people. What do you think? Should we put up a poll by 8 p.m.?
He made the pick. He made the pick, but he's a fraud for not being here. Lukey,
well,
we love you, buddy.
The good news is, yeah, we're 2-1. Best he can be is 2-2, boys. So either way, we're either picking up a full game or a half game this week. Luke's brothers, let's go. Let's get hot, boys.
Absolutely. We love you, pal. Thanks.
See you, Luke. There he goes. Luke Wilson, TSN NFL analyst, teammate of the O-Dog and I. I wanted the Colts, not going to lie. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
I know you all. You always put a positive spin on it. Go ahead.
Well, what the Colts love to do is run the rock, right? They bring in Jeff Saturday. We've all seen that clip of them saying, need to run the dang ball. And that's what they love to do. You go look at the last couple of weeks. The Steelers have done a great job at shutting down an opposition run game. So if they can shut down Jonathan Taylor, you got T.J. Watt, and they might be able to pull out the win here, the Steelers. They might be able to do. Kenny Pickett's played decent football the last little bit.
Hey, Mike Tomlin versus Jeff Saturday. Yeah, I like your chances, fellas. I like your chances.
I do, too.
It's 2.5 points. Like, they clearly... Vegas thinks, and this is 2.5 points in Indy, which means on a neutral site field, it's pretty much a pick'em.
Yeah.
So when you're getting a pick'em game and you're getting the points here, you know, I don't think we could be too upset about
it. The new coach bump doesn't last forever, right?
No.
Colts have gotten some juice out of it, but I can't see it lasting. I really can't.
Yeah, probably not. Today's Best Bets is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I've got three today. Paris Campbell, over 50 yards receiving for the Colts tonight on the Monday Nighter. That is paying +110. Leafs first to 5 shots tonight. They've gotten off to a good start in the last few games. That pays -130. And then Matthews to score a goal tonight, paying -102. I like that one. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today.
Matthews always... Once he gets one, and I think he needed that one with, like, not a deflection, not an empty net. Yeah, it was like
Matthews' patented goal.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think maybe that's the one that kind of kickstarts him and he gets fired up and gets it going, because it can only help. They've been on a heater, but if he gets cooking with Nylander,
yes,
that's they'll be pretty dangerous. Guys getting healthy, coming back in the near future. All good signs for the Leafs.
It's a good team.
We don't spend enough time talking about the positivity. We love... It's literally a three-hour show to dump on them when things are going poorly. We don't spend half enough time when things are positive.
You think Marner extends the streak tonight?
I really do. The last time they were in that building, I think the score was 10-7.
10-8 or something.
Yeah, 10-8.
Yeah.
This is point night. Now, they keep saying, we don't want to play that way. We don't want to get into a track
meet. I prefer them not to let in 8 goals. But
they wouldn't mind getting 10.
Yeah, like a little 6-1 ball game.
Detroit, you can't. Game. They got some talent there. They've upgraded. Their team is better. You can't just go in there and think it's Detroit anymore.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
You're right.
They can maybe prove that they are, but you can't think it, or you're going to get burnt by it.
Legendary patients deserve a legendary hospital. Help us build the new SickKids by becoming a monthly donor today. Your donations will help build an expanded national intensive care unit, new state-of-art operating suites, and deliver more care to more children in need. Go to tsn1050.ca to become a monthly donor now, and your donation will be triple matched every single month for an entire year. And tune into Newstalk 1010's Gift of Giving for SickKids December 15th from 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. to hear how your donation will help save the lives of our most vulnerable children.
How was it hosting today, buddy? Your first crack? Hazy V, we'll call him. Hazy Verbata.
Hazy V. I don't know. You tell me. How do you think it went?
Buddy, you're amazing. You're a gift. You're a broadcasting gift, and I thought you were a superstar.
Oh, thanks, pal.
Nice job, AB.
Thank you so much. It was fun, though. It was a lot of fun to get in the big chair. We ended up getting up on TV. It was a lot of fun.
Only half hour TV stinks, though. We deserve the whole shebang. 3 hours on TV, man.
We do. And next time, if there is a next time, let's hope it happens. All right. As Hazy B says, enjoy the games tonight. We're back. You're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We will chat then.